He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It's the Monday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We're just going to call it kind of a slow start to the market here so far today to begin a new week, the last week of November. The S&P is down 6 points right now, and that puts it at 4,553, very close to a lot of the targets that were set earlier this year. The Dow is down 36. It's at 35,354. It's down one-tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ is down 8 points right now. Not seeing much moving one way or the other yet. The NASDAQ's at 14,244, near its high for the year on all of the indexes right now. And it should be noted that they're running into some technical resistance here. The Russell 2000 is down 13 points. That's the biggest drop of all. That's a 70 basis point drop. Crude oil's down 20 cents to $75.34. Gold's got a little bit of life underneath it. It's up $9.40 to 2012. We haven't seen that for a while. And the 10-year is down 2 basis points today in a quiet bond market with the 10-year at 4.45%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, this is the last week of November.
Flying by, isn't it?
We've got 5 weeks left in the year, and then it will be earnings season again, beginning in about mid-January. So, you know, we're going to come in pretty close on the target prices for the S&P 500 this year, because the earnings are going to come in almost where most analysts had them predicted at the beginning of the year. And what we've seen this year is a contraction in the multiple due to the 10-year being up around 4.45%.
And folks were pretty optimistic for a while there, right? That you know, that they were, you know, that we were going to have rate cuts. Remember at the towards the back half of the year, which you know, didn't materialize. No. We weren't really in that camp, but there were folks, you know, and last sitting here last January, are doing their predictions and thinking that, yeah, the Fed's going to have, you know, 2-3 rate cuts on the back end of the year, which obviously you know, would expand that multiple.
Yes.
So the most important part, you know, it looks like folks, at least some analysts, got right on the earnings front. So
yes, and we've settled in kind of in the 18 to 18.5 range on the forward PE ratio, which takes where the current price of the S&P 500 divides it by the earnings estimates over the next 12 months. We got as high as 23.5 on that level. That was way overblown. That was before the market had the big correction year in 2022. And after the correction, during the correction, we got as low as 15.5. And you know, the thing about it, the earnings pretty much remained the same the whole time. It was the multiple that was reacting to the wild trading in interest rates. Well, today is Cyber Monday, so welcome to Cyber Monday. I've already made a few purchases, Barry. I'm trying to pitch in to make this a record. It was a record Black Friday
for online, yeah.
And today is expected to be a record Cyber Monday. So these are a couple of the biggest shopping days of the year. ETF saw a big inflow last week, so I guess there are some people out there that see value in the indexes right now. I would just say that a couple of things that I noticed in the charts, you're hitting some pretty stiff resistance right now. You know, the market had a pretty, it had a bounce, really. I mean, it was ready to break down there about 6 weeks ago when the Fed was talking really, really hawkish. And then he loosened up, Jerome Powell did, just in time for the holidays, and you saw a big bounce in the market recently. Now we're starting to run into technical resistance and valuation resistance because we're up around that 18.5 multiple once again. So as always, but even more importantly than most times, it's going to be all about finding individual company stocks that haven't hit massive resistance levels and haven't hit massive evaluation levels either. It's still a growth stock market, though, however. It has spread out somewhat to the healthcare stocks, obviously the drug stocks with the weight loss companies. You know, that, some of retail, I suppose you could say, some of the consumer consumer discretionary have also done pretty well. As we're getting housing data in today. I don't know if that's come in or not, but we're looking forward to the housing data to see how those new house sales or current existing home sales are doing.
We should get a decent bump because I was looking at 30-year rates and 30-year 30-year mortgage rates dropped pretty significantly and over the last couple of weeks, and I was reading some things where just that small change in the 30-year has actually spurned some activity on the housing front, which this time of year, right, going in from now at least in, through say spring break of next year of 2024 is usually kind of a slow time period for homes, simply because weather, building slows down, and of course kids, a lot of folks will make that home purchase on the back half of the school year, and being in the middle of the school year, it's folks usually don't make that purchase and make that move unless you have to.
So. Right, and there is still a lot of demand. Though I talked to one of my friends last. Yesterday, actually, about the demand in the building industry right now and in the new home and in the construction industry. And it has slowed down, but I'm still hearing that there's pretty good demand for housing right now. There continues to be a shortage. Asia-Pacific stocks turn lower as China property stocks plunge. Well, here we go again. Their new home sales and their property market not doing very well. They overbuilt. They went on a building binge. They sucked up all the commodities in the world, drove prices to crazy levels.
They overbuilt entire cities.
Entire cities now sit vacant. And the debt that some of these companies have amassed is enormous and probably deadly. Probably many of these companies won't survive. But the Beijing police launched an investigation into the debt-laden Chinese shadow bank, Zhongzi Enterprise Group. That's kind of the one behind a lot of these big property companies. And they still continue to, it seems like it. I mean, we haven't heard a lot out of China recently. But you still get stories like this. And we watch the China property stocks like Evergrande and a few others. And man, they're not looking too good. They look like it could be terminal unless the government steps in and takes these companies over, I suppose. Okay, we have also you had a lot of deals on Friday, I guess. I get hit, obviously, when we do our searches. You're going to get hit with the ads that match up to some of the searches you've done recently as they target you, right, to get you to do a little bit of impulse buying. But it was a pretty big day. Shopify had a record day. Shopify is kind of the little Amazon Shopify is an online mall, okay? There's no choir singing, and there's no Wetzel's pretzels baking in the oven.
No Orange Julius, and you can't sit on Santa's lap either.
No,
right?
I miss all of that. But anyways, the Shopify had record sales. It's always been a very expensive stock. It got as high as $176 in 2021, and now it's $73. So it's down $100 a share off of its high. But Shopify had a record day, and the stock is breaking out today in a good sign, I guess, that the consumer is still pretty strong, still buying, still using their credit card, whatever they need to purchase. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'm seeing some pretty good charts here. I mentioned Shopify. I also see a pretty good chart there and a breakout today in Amazon. That's one of the stocks we own in our premier growth portfolio. And Amazon has had a pretty good year. Let's see. Where's my year-to-date return? 75% is what I show. I'll say it's had a pretty good year. You know, it just comes down to those giant seven or eight stocks that continue to lead the market. Even though it has spread out to other stocks, you've got a stock like Amazon, which is a market cap now of $1.5 trillion, up 75% on the year, and still breaking out to new 52-week highs. How much upside potential for Amazon? I show about 66% right now, so that's below average. I like 75% or more for new money. That means that Amazon would be in the stronghold kind of arena. Yeah, that's what the app says, hold. There was a recent, it dipped here recently, back in mid-October, late October, into buy territory, from a valuation point of view, but now it's kind of out of that buy territory range from a valuation point of view, which is very, very critical in the work that we do here.
Well, and it's important. I ventured out for a little bit on Friday with my wife, and my parents were in town, so took my mom out so we could maybe find a few things for my kids or her grandkids. It's funny, when you're on the store looking at the shelf, it's like, okay, let me look at it on Amazon real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I walk around with my phone. It's like all these brick and mortar stores are kind of like the showroom floor for my Amazon purchase.
It's incredible. Okay, Tesla, all of a sudden Sweden has turned on Tesla. Well, you know, Elon Musk, he's always in the news. Today he met
with Netanyahu, right?
Yeah, he's met with Netanyahu, and they actually took him down to the village in the south of Israel that was turned upside down and where a lot of the deaths occurred. He witnessed that personally. I think it's kind of a PR move by Musk, because you had all these people calling him anti-Semitic, you know, just a few weeks ago. And so he visits, I mean, on the ground, Netanyahu personally escorting Elon Musk around there. But in Sweden, there's problems. They are not even emptying his trash. The city won't even empty the trash because the unions are after him, and they're not delivering his mail at his little plant there in Sweden. Tesla's battle to avoid any sort of unionization in Sweden ramped up to a new level. That's the fight. They want him to be unionized, and he does not want to be unionized. Reports indicate that all Tesla shipments arriving by sea are blocked from being unloaded at Swedish ports.
You got to unionize, unionize port. You can't get it off the.
You see how they can target you if they want to. And more key suppliers are taking action against the U.S. electric vehicle maker in sympathy with the strike initiated by the manufacturers union IF Metall, which I know is a very powerful union in Sweden. And like I say, they're not collecting his trash. The trash is building up. The mail service is not coming, so it's kind of a big mess there. They're putting the squeeze on Musk.
Yeah, it just kind of reminds me, and, you know, 20 years ago, where he always talked about, you know, what happens when, you know, Warren Buffett passes away with Berkshire. Remember, you know, just in terms of the key man risk that you have there. And I'd probably argue that there's no other stock out there, right, besides Tesla that has the most key person risk.
Yeah. Absolutely.
whether it's something, you know, happens to him, you know, he gets hit by the beer truck or says the wrong thing. So it's certainly a unique in the finance world. It's a unique, unique story in terms of how that affects the value of Tesla along the way.
And so. Tesla's up 91% with 1 month to go. Year to date, you know, it started off the year with a lot of anti-Musk sentiment. It was mostly over Twitter, his Twitter buy, which is now X, which I'm sure he would like to have that one back and undo that, unless he can turn the thing around. But this has been one of the mega winners in 2023. My upside potential, you know, this new app is just awesome. It's finally almost exactly where I wanted it to be. It shows the Gunderson value grade right now is, or the valuation. I've got 66% upside potential, you see. So it's a hold also, 61% upside potential. But it did dip down here recently to 118, Tesla dipped down to 194, and it was back in that buy range again in late October, but now it is out of that buy range. Now, this is for this reason, Barry, and you know my philosophy on this and how we implement this, is when a new account comes to us, I got a pretty good-sized account today that is now under my eyeballs and tutelage and wing, and I'm starting to see stock show up in my list of holdings today that we didn't own on Friday. So I always say, well, okay, we have a new account come in. Well, I go through them one at a time. Now that one's on my daily watch list. I don't sell everything on that new account today and buy all my stuff. It's gradually done over time. So in other words, I won't put this client in Tesla if he doesn't already own it, unless that stock comes back into its buy range again. So that's a lot of extra work on my part. You're not going to get that from a mutual fund. From an ETF.
Yeah, we make a purchase of, a lot of folks don't really know this in terms of mechanics, but if you buy a mutual fund today, basically at the end of the day, now you magically own everything that they own, right?
You've
got, say, a Fidelity Contra fund that has 300 and something positions in it, well, apparently, when you make that purchase, just think of it as, what's the chances of all 300 of those names being a buy on the same day, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's more, it's efficient. You get in the game really fast, but it creates a lot of timing risk there.
Yeah. So. And, there's sometimes when the market takes off and, oh, how come I'm not 100% invested, I just don't. I take stocks one at a time, which is much more time consuming. The other thing about mutual funds, you can get hung with their capital gains that they declare.
Yeah.
You could have owned them for one day and have to pay capital gains taxes that they declare in December. Okay, we'll be right back. We got to talk a little bit about the big COP28 summit kicking off in Dubai today. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the NASDAQ has gone positive. It's up by 9 points right now. The Dow is down 47. As they gather in Dubai, a lot of grumbling, a lot of murmuring taking place. There's no President Biden not there and President Xi from China. I mean, what percent of the world's economy is not present at this meeting? In addition to this, the head of the meeting this year is Dr. Sultan Al-Jaber, who is the head of the state-owned oil company of the United Arab Emirates. There's a lot of people not happy that you've got an oil CEO leading the big summit, Climate Action Summit in Dubai. But he defends himself saying, hey, look, we need to all work together on this, including steel companies, car. I mean, everybody needs to work together. But anyways, we'll see what comes from that. It gets underway in Dubai. The parties are looking for concrete pledges to combat the damaging effects of climate change, to curb warming at 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Very little progress has been made since this all began in the 2015 Paris Agreement. In fact, this year we'll set a new record for greenhouse gas emissions. And extreme weather events like floods and hurricanes have set off many environmental alarms. 2023 is virtually certain to be the hottest year ever recorded in history. So all of that, that's the backdrop to this year's big Climate Action Summit in Dubai. The AI gold rush is here. Well, that's according Redburn Atlantic says the AI gold rush can provide opportunities elsewhere. They're calling on the picks and shovel companies in the AI gold rush. So in other words, not exactly Microsoft or Nvidia, but they mentioned Applied Materials, which obviously makes equipment for making chips, ASM, which we own, which makes high-end equipment for making chips, which is very important in the making of these high-speed chips, and Lam Research, which we also own, among those likely to benefit the most. Hey, these guys are pretty good. I never heard of them before, but they got a couple of good stocks that they're mentioning, and we have been seeing new highs out of Microsoft recently, new all-time highs. You had all the drama with Sam Altman and fears about the end of humanity if we get to AGI, which is godlike intelligence, okay? That's the next step, and apparently they've made a big breakthrough towards that. And that set off alarm bells, enough so that Altman was fired from the company he founded and then hired back. I don't know. I'd like to hear those discussions that took place. Microsoft has leveled off today. NVIDIA reported earnings last week that were phenomenal. But They were expecting phenomenal, I guess you could say.
Right. Or at least analysts were hoping for phenomenal.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were, I think, on the guidance, I think when we touched on it last week, I think they came in on the revenue side. They're expecting, I think, 12% more than what analysts already elevated expectations for fourth quarter. And that 12% wasn't good enough.
So no. Well, it's like, you know, every year these big college football programs will put a couple of really small teams on the schedule, Appalachian State or I remember the Citadel played Alabama like 3 years ago.
Yeah, the million-dollar game. That's basically pay them, a couple million or two to show up as fodder for the big school.
So now it comes down to the point spread. Well, they only beat them 62-0, and the analysts had them winning by 80-0. And that's kind of like NVIDIA's report here. It was phenomenal. I mean, they clobbered everything in sight, but they expected them to win by even more than that. NVIDIA is up a little bit. It's up 1% today. I'm not really finding much leadership. I haven't. Other than the Cyber Monday and Black Friday stocks, they look pretty good. Amazon and Shopify look very good here today. Gold soars above $2,000 per ounce. I'm not quite sure why that is. Gold does like a dovish Fed, and that could be part of the reason with him turning much more dovish here in the last couple of weeks. Jerome Powell. And oil extends its slide as OPEC delays. Let's see. I think they're meeting later this week. Oil prices, blah, 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 which was a postponed. Are seeing higher caps?
I thought they were postponed to just to sometime this week, which is interesting that OPEC's going to be meeting while that climate conference is on.
Yeah. He's going to have the guy that's leading the climate change talks will have to go
two
away from the meeting
yeah,
for a
two
little
different
while
meetings, right? Yeah.
While they vote on how much oil to pump out of the ground. I don't know. VanEck highlights mid-caps. Look, we hear all this is prediction season. One group says small caps. One group says mid-caps. One group says large caps. One says outside of the United States. Well, you know what? I think I look at it more from a micro, I think it comes down to the individual stocks. If it happens to be a mid-cap, so be it. But I'm just not one of these guys that says, okay, you got to have an allocation that includes small caps, mid-cap. Small caps have been a horrible place to be this
year.
Yeah,
particularly small-cap indexes, simply because there's just a lot of, if you think there's a lot of bad things in the that aren't attractive in the S&P 500.
Yeah.
Just take a peek at the Russell. Take a peek at the Russell 2000, and there's a lot of dogs in there too.
Now, and it's not to say there have not been some good individual small caps this year. We've done real well with Oscar, and with Taste, TAST on that Burger King turnaround. But if you're buying a small cap ETF or in your 401k at work, you chose this year to be overweighted in U.S. small caps or global small caps, that's been a really, really bad place to be overall. It's just hard to make a blanket, call like that. Most of the mid caps are up somewhere in the 6% area. Whereas, you've got the NASDAQ up almost 28, 30% right now. Carnival gains after Melius Research joins the bull camp. Well, okay. Let's see what the Best Stocks Now app says about Carnival. This is what I like, because some analyst makes a prediction and tells me what they like. I can click on CCL and I can immediately get some kind. The Best Stocks Now app has it as a sell. It has the valuation of the stock. They have a negative growth rate, so we don't even have a valuation on the stock. So basically, we're going off the. I think I did update. There are some earnings estimates out they do look like they're going to be profitable. So I did update that this morning. So we will get a valuation on the thing. But if you look at the performance over the years and the lack of growth and whatnot, it is currently ranked number 4,700 out of 5,400. That's not very good. But Melius Research joins the bull camp on Carnival Cruise Lines. Now, here's one to keep your eye on. Will we see a flying robo-taxi? This one looks pretty neat. I'm going to put a picture of it in the newsletter this week. Lilium, L-I-L-M, gets an approval from the European Union. This is called the Major Achievement. They're developing the revolutionary Lilium Jet. So imagine, I mean, this is kind of looks like a little private jet, only it's obviously more like a drone, and it doesn't go very far. You know, I don't know, maybe 30 miles, 25 miles before it runs out of juice, and you got to land it and recharge it. But that is expected. I know Kathy Wood at ARC Funds has invested heavily in Archer Aviation, a competitor to the Lilium Jet. Okay, we'll take a look underneath the surface. There's got to be something moving here today. I'm sure there is. Amazon looks good. We'll be right back. I've been on the right trail, but I must choose the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the biggest mover in the market today is a pretty small company, Red Hill Biopharma, RDHL. They get some kind of an exclusive contract for one of their ingredients for drugs. That thing is up 125%. But it's not exactly, I mean, it's more down in the penny stock range. But it is the biggest percent gainer. Now, as I look at the S&P 500, which gives me a pretty good indication of where the strength is in the market and where the weakness is, you know what? I mean, the big tech stocks are basically taking the day off. Now, I would think that most people are back to work today after the Thanksgiving holidays. Maybe by tomorrow we'll be back to full strength. But I'm not seeing a whole lot of push in any of the big areas of the market. Big tech has got a couple of problems here. Let's just look at the NASDAQ real quickly here. The NASDAQ is running into some very stiff technical resistance, very stiff. It's hitting the level that it hit back in July before we had the big correction. And now we've bounced back and we're hitting that technical level once again that it could not get through in July. You know, look, it could break out through that resistance level, but it's going to struggle and fight with it. Or it's going to back off from that. That could be some pretty stiff technical resistance there. And the same can be said about the Dow and the S&P 500. And also from a valuation point of view right now, you know, we got down to under 17 with the forward PE about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And now we're back up into the high 18 area. And that usually kind of puts a damper on the market also. So you're hitting valuation resistance, you're hitting technical resistance, and really the only big tech stock I see worth mentioning today is Amazon because of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. That's one of the best-looking charts out there today. Amazon is breaking out to a new 52-week high at 148.72. And then in the S&P, you've got Etsy, which would also probably be one that did well during the Black Friday. and Cyber Monday today. Crown Castle, which owns cell towers, 6% dividend yield. It got a buy rating today. I'm not a big fan of the stock because it's a 2% grower. JW Nordstrom's up 3.3%. I don't know. Maybe they had a good Black Friday. But that's a small cap stock these days. It's a $2.5 billion company, a small cap. Domino's Pizza having a good day, up 3.2%. That's the company that our friend Patrick Doyle did the massive turnaround on, and now he's busy at quality QSR. Quality, what is it? QSR is something brands.
Restaurant Brands International, and the QSR symbol stands for quick service restaurants.
So, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, well, all right. I'm going to remind the lady when I'm in line waiting for my burger.
The Q stands for quick?
Yeah, where's the quick? I've been here for 45 seconds and nobody...
Maybe the service.
Yeah. No, they throw it at you. Nucor is up 2.6%. So that's just not much. Carnival's up 2.2%. It looks like a pretty dull day. Now over here on the downside in the S&P, my first sell today was the transfer in of some shares, and I'll be going through those today. Somebody transferred in Albemarle, which is the big lithium stock with the mines in North Carolina. This whole electric vehicle thing is kind of going off the rails a little bit here recently. You know, you've got Ford and GM backing way down off of their plans. They're very aggressive plans. Ford is scaling down its battery plant considerably that it's going to build in Michigan. And the lithium stocks, whew, they've just been really poor performers. So I did trim that from whoever transferred. Well, I know who did it. Transferred that stock in. And I just don't like them. It's better to move away. Sometimes it's, I don't want to sell it here. Well, sometimes it takes a third party to say, it's got to go. Kohl's is down 3.2%. That's a struggling franchise. There's a lot of people that think, I'm sure there's heavy short interest in Kohl's. They think it could go the way of Bed Bath and Beyond. Deere is down 1.8%. Macy's is down 1.7%. Best Buy, another one that had a terrible report last week. What's left of bricks and mortar, right, Barry? I mean, what's left of bricks and mortar?
The only couple of names that on our screen that looks good is just really only thing that's up more than 1% is Amazon, and then Elf is having a pretty nice day, and Elf, of course. Tied to retail and makeup, and so that one's fighting back, getting almost back to its August high. So
that's one of the fastest growing stocks out there, but it's very volatile. You get into those really high PE ratios where the expectations are very high. That's why we own it in our emerging growth portfolio, which has been doing very well. The action has been pretty hot recently in small and micro caps, and that's one that we own. Okay, well, if you didn't get the newsletter, I wrote a big article about AGI, which is the next level above AI. And what it could mean for the planet and for humanity, and it played a huge role in the whole drama surrounding Sam Altman, and it has the same undertones, this altruistic type of philosophy that Bankman-Fried had. In other words, it's okay for a few people to be damaged greatly if it's for the greater good. There's a lot of that in this AI, and especially in AGI. Get the newsletter, 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. We have our prediction out, our target price for 2024. If you'd like to set up an appointment here with us, you got some time off, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.